Hello and welcome to the podcast, The Lotus Eaters, for the 30th of September, 2022. I'm joined by Josh.
Hello.
And today we're going to be talking about the statue wars that are taking place, the left politicizing Hurricane Ian, which I don't know what are the pronouns for the hurricane at this point.
She, her.
Okay. And also mermaids, witch doctors, which are going to tell us about why when the foreigners do what they do, it's barbaric. But when they do it for trans people, it's perfectly civilized. Yeah,
this is horrifying stuff as well.
Yeah. But firstly, just an announcement to be made, which is, as mentioned yesterday, today is the day of the Gold Tier Zoom call that we have once a month for Gold Tier members. So if you're a Gold Tier member or want to join, you come and join at 3:30 UK time on the Zoom call. And all the details are on the website, of course, as shown on screen.
Mm-hmm. Is that with Carl and Connor, I think?
Leave Carl and Connor, yeah. Mm-hmm. So go and check that out. Otherwise, we shall begin with Statue Wars. Just imagine a statue of, like, lasers just pointing at each other. Anyway,
if only they could fight back, maybe they'd stop getting thrown into the Bristol channel or whatever it's called.
Now they can. So in regards to statue wars, the statues are now protected and also are having a bit of a fight about who gets the plinth in London.
The statues are fighting? What?
Well, the people who represent them are.
Okay.
So to mention as to why the hell I'm talking about this, we'll start off just by with a plug for the Politics of the Crown video I did. Of course, being, well, what does the crown actually do in regards to Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II? And the fight is between whether or not we should put up a statue to Her Majesty or random statues of anti-British activists.
It's a difficult question, isn't it?
I don't know.
I couldn't possibly tell you which one's more important.
Which one appeals to the British public? I don't know, this guy who murdered a British man or the Queen. It's ridiculous, but I'm not joking either, because if we go to the next image here, we can see the news. So this is Save Our Statues Here, whose campaign I'm very much enjoying, and you'll see why in a minute. They write here, no room for Queen Elizabeth II statue on Trafalgar Square's fourth plinth, rules Sadiq Khan.
Oh, yeah.
In a choice between divisive... Brilliant stuff.
I mean, basically the same thing at this point.
Yeah, racial politics and honouring the Queen, there's only ever one winner for Mayor Khan. And there certainly is. And was it the Queen? Of course it wasn't. Instead, it was, how about we have some diverse racial politics instead?
No, we can.
Really. If you go to the next link here, we can see the details. So, London Mayor asks existing schedule of temporary modern art commissioners, saying it will continue with the latest work depicting anti-colonialist revolts. Why? Why would you do that? If the Queen was still alive, there would be no reason for this. But the reason is, of course, to try and twofold. Because you've got to think, right, we're going to put up an anti-colonialist revolt leader who was killing British people. Okay, what's the message to the British people? I don't know. You live in a subjugated land? I don't know what else you're putting that up for. And then the message to the minority groups who might, for some reason, look up to that individual. I suppose that's the left-wing logic here. You're brown, so you're part of the same race and therefore believe the same things. You need to look up to the statue as some kind of idol? Again, why? Go out and kill British people, I guess.
Well, it's so strange to me that they can even justify within their mad left-wing paradigm that British people want statues of people who hated Britain. Next we're going to be
the killer
erecting statues of mid-century Germans and who knows what, the French.
Well, I don't know, they were white, officially, so they're not allowed.
Oh, yes.
But they'll put up a statue probably to the killer of Lee Rigby in, I don't know, maybe 20 years, and then we'll have a little plinth telling us about how that dude fought British aggression.
At least we'll have a benchmark to know when Britain has officially died if they do that.
Yeah, if they put up a statue to kill Lee Rigby. Abandon ship. Like, it's done, boys. Anyway, they say in here, since the death of the Queen, there have been calls for a monument to be erected on the empty plinth in the centre of London, which has been used as a platform for contemporary artwork since 1999. It was initially intended to support the statue of William IV, but has been empty since the mid-19th century. Samson Kambalu, new commissioner, Antelope, will be in situ until September 2024. This is the guy who's an anti-colonial revolt leader who killed British people. That's
great.
It's going to be there till 2024.
Horrifying.
Mr. Kambalu's works depict John, I'm going to butcher the name, Chiliwibi, which I'm never going to try and get right, frankly, because he seems like a piece of crap. The anti-colonialist pastor who led the 1915 revolt against British rule in Nyasaland, now Malawi. This winning commission has been criticised by some because the revolt led to bloodshed, including the decapitation of a British settler.
So this Lee Rigby potential statue is not far off if they're already talking about erecting statues to people who decapitated British settlers, presumably innocent people as well.
100%. And the reasoning for doing this is even worse than the Telegraph are making out. The reality is far, far worse. Although I love the idea that, again, you put this statue up. Yeah, minorities of London, you should be proud. Look at this guy. He killed British people. What kind of messaging is this?
They don't need any more encouragement. They're doing it enough already. I feel like what we need to do is...
London Bridge, just Westminster Bridge, twice.
Yeah. You know how Rio de Janeiro has that giant statue of Jesus? We should just have a giant statue of the Queen.
Yeah.
Just somewhere, towering over all of London. It needs to be the highest thing in the skyline.
T-posing over Tower Hamlets. Anyway, Mr. Khan said the work would encourage discussion about the fight for freedom and equality, which you get by killing innocent British people. Good to know.
Yeah, so... implicit in this as well is that the fight for freedom and equality includes decapitating British people.
So and, completely innocent.
Yeah.
Just in the wrong place at the wrong time, so kill them.
Oh, it's so out in the open, isn't it?
But I have to wonder, I mean, literally, like, redo this, so it's like, the ISIS spokesman said that the killer of Lee Rigby's killing and the statue we're going to put up will encourage discussion about the fight for freedom and equality in the Muslim world.
Which... I feel like we're getting to the point where ISIS would be like, hey, Sadiq Khan, cool it, all right?
we don't need it, bro. The commission is that it's set to follow Kambala's work is created by an artist, Teresa Margolis, and it depicts the faces of 850 transgender people. Why? So we got 2 years of this. We got 2 years of being told through a statue here, it's good that this guy killed your people. And then we've got, I don't know, another 4 years of his 850 trans people. Pray to it. I don't know. Like, I mean, what's the message?
At least that second one can be subverted. You could be like, look at how much they don't pass. It's just like a spectrum of androgyny.
I don't think they'll... You ever seen, what was it, Feminist Frequency? You remember because she would complain about unrealistic women images in games and stuff, right? And then they all stood together, her and her team, and then they did a drawing of it for their own website, mm-hmm. and it looks nothing like them. Like, it's purposely made to look like they're far more female than they actually are. That's what they'll do with the same
thing. That was Lacey Green, wasn't it? That's going back. That's like 2014, 2015 feminism.
I don't know if it's Lacey Green in the photo.
She was the Feminist Frequency person, wasn't she?
I don't believe so.
Oh, it's such a long time ago now.
Anyway, but people will know the image I'm looking for. Someone will put it in the comments somewhere. But it's just like someone redid the photo, actually drawing it accurately as well. And it's not pretty. Anyway, it's a complete sidetrack. From this, the winning proposal is approved by the mayor and funded by the Great London Authority at the cost of £140,000.
Money well spent, so, clearly.
Remember, this is our money.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure the people of London in the cost of living crisis would love that money going on a statue.
It's not all Londoners either. It's also our cash. I get donated this crap.
Great.
Plus a £30,000 artist fee. After
That's
all.
Pretty lucrative for just designing, what, one statue?
Yeah.
Maybe they're making it as well. Which
we do
might...
need to celebrate British murders. Deserves the money.
Oh, for goodness sake.
Following Queen Elizabeth II's death, it was suggested the scheme come to an end. God, I wish. A government source said that the permanent monument to the late monarch would be considered for the fourth plinth. This being the fact that the plinth was meant to be used for something else in regards to the royal family. Didn't. We ended up doing this nonsense. And now the Queen has died. It's like, okay, well, we've got this plinth. We put statues on.
I think that put it there. A statue to the Queen shouldn't be an afterthought, though. It should be something that we actually go out of our way to make magnificent in the same way that her funeral had all of that pomp and majesty to it.
Yeah,
you don't want to just be like, yeah, stick her on the fourth plinth.
I don't think it's good enough either.
Yeah.
I've got some proposals, which we'll get to later, about how to clear away the rubbish. Something nicer there. But before we get there, the reason I bring up Save Our Statues and their movement is because I'm very impressed, boys. Whoever the hell runs that, salute in the chat. I want to see them because look at this. Here we have Save Our Statues adds a plaque to the fourth plinth. Mayor Khan is keen to contextualize difficult statues. So, in the spirit of retain and explain, I was happy to help. It's positioned as an artistic repose to the official narrative on the other side of the plinth. So there's a little plaque explaining that he's a good boy, didn't do nothing. And then there's another plaque that these guys have put up, which is the historical reality.
That is awesome that they're doing that.
Yeah.
I thought their Twitter account was good enough, but they're actually going out and doing stuff.
And this is their first one they've done like this that I've seen in this regard, and I want to see more of it. This really has potential. Don't get me wrong. This is actually a brilliant idea. You've stumbled across something fantastic, guys. So, John here, Chiluwabi, was the leader of an unsuccessful and bloody uprising aiming to kill all European men in Nasiland. Now, Malawi. There you are. That's the first line. This is the reality instead of the propaganda we were given. During the First World War, when the German forces invaded Nazi-land, Chiluwabe campaigned against fighting them. He was a traitor to king and country. Heavily indebted and facing deportation, he provoked his followers into revolt and collaboration with the Germans.
That's how you know he's a bad guy.
Yeah, literally a German collaborator. Like, okay, already off to a bad start before he's even killed anyone. The rebels targeted civilians, murdering plantation workers like William Livingston, and imprisoned the women and children. Lovely guy. Livingston's head was severed with an axe and thrown into his wife's lap as their five-year-old daughter watched on. The head was displayed in Chiluwabe's church, where he preached beside it. Chiluwabe was shot dead as he fled in disguise towards German territory.
Oh no, how terrible.
100% piece of S.
Yes.
Deserved to be shot. Deserved to be shot a lot sooner. Did terrible things with his life, and is a traitor to king and country. So we have a plaque up, sorry, a huge friggin' statue of him up, with a plaque saying he's a good boy. Look at this guy.
It did say he's a plantation owner rather than just worker.
Yes.
So that might mean that he owned slaves, I don't know. Actually, at that time, it was banned in the British Empire, wasn't it? So he wasn't
for
even a slave owner.
Slavery had been banned.
So he was just a business owner at that point.
Completely innocent guy. There are no slaves in any of this region of Africa ever by the British, I believe, because by the time we even got there, we'd far abolished it. So this isn't like the American South, before anyone gets confused. This is just a guy who decided, oh, I'm going to side with the Germans and start killing white European men. Oh, wait, only British men, not the Germans, because they're also white European men that he sided with. Yeah, so we have a statue up to him, telling everyone, be like him. Isn't this a good guy? It's awful. Just on every level, this is the worst possible thing, and it's our money paying for it as well.
So depressed. I didn't know about this, and it's horrifying.
Yeah, and thank Christ to Save Our Statues for educating us all on this, because I didn't know either.
They're doing great work.
Educating the public, because if we go to the next image here, we can see loads of tourists turning up, having a gander at the little plaque that the guys have put up, being like, huh, that's a bit weird. Why have they put this up? I'm imagining all the tourists here are thinking. If you go to the next one, we also have someone with stuff all over them taking pictures of it. Just like, oh my god, look at this. I don't know why I think she's American or something. There's a Canadian flag there as well.
Yeah, but, and is that a Trinidad and Tobago flag at the top though?
So some Canadian just being like, oh, look at that. I mean, maybe she's a Trudonian and thinks this is a good thing, but either way, at least they
have Route 66 as well.
Yeah, God knows. But it's good that the public are actually informed about what Sadiq Khan is doing. Remember, the fight for freedom and equality. So murder some random, innocent British guys, cut off his head, and throw it at his wife.
I don't know how on earth this is ever palatable to anyone. Like, in a civilised country, well, increasingly becoming less civilised, but still.
London is not a civilised place.
John has said that everywhere she goes, she gets a patch, so it looks like she's got Belgium and England there as well.
Yeah, so. Okay. So I suppose she'll let us know where she's from. Is she wearing a mask? No, okay. I was going to think, whatever. Anyway, so if we go to the next one here, we can also see the news that it's official. Toppling statues is now also illegal. You may have thought this would have been illegal already. This is not in response to some passing of a new law.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what happened. You may remember there was a complex legal question about, but if I destroy a statue for social justice, is that really a crime?
Yes.
I would have thought so too.
Mm-hmm.
But you may remember the story in Birmingham where they did that to the Colston statue.
Bristol,
where it went to court, and in the court, the judge decided he would hand it over to the jury, and they would decide. And he reminded them that, well, they do have free speech rights. So the jury just let them all go.
So free speech now means you can throw publicly owned property into rivers.
Or private, or just punch random people.
Yeah.
I'm not joking, that's as far as the logic went. Because if you go to the next link, we can see, this all went back to court as an appeal. Because the government looked at that and went, that's not legal. We're going to pursue this and take those people back to court. So I went to the Court of Appeals. And here's the complex legal question. I wonder if we'll get some musings out of this. Ooh, there's both sides, maybe. Can you topple a monument and chuck it into a river because you happen to be engaged in political protest? This is the legal question which has flummoxed England's finest legal minds until this week, when the Court of Appeal, in an astonishing decision, ruled... No, not really.
Whoever decided to write it like that, I approve.
So funny enough, Yeah, crime. Illegal. Oh, I didn't see that one coming.
They've outlawed crime. That's terrible.
Crime's gone way up since they outlawed crime. To the layman, naive about such things, it might have seemed like an open and shut case. But some of the finest minds of the English bar convinced themselves, and indeed, a Crown Court judge, that the jury ought to decide whether convicting the Colston Four, as the Edward Colston Monument, Topplers had become known, on a charge of criminal damage would inflict upon them a disproportionate interference with their rights to freedom of thought and conscience and freedom of expression under the European Convention of Human Rights. The jury took the hint and duly acquitted the Colston Four, under the idea that you can destroy things if you're protesting, because that is your human right to freedom of expression.
Guy Fawkes, apparently, it's just a protest. It's not illegal.
It's my freedom of expression, man. I want to punch Nazis because it's my freedom of expression. That is actually what a Crown judge came to, and a jury.
Oh, no.
I remember covering the story and just being utterly dumbfounded. I was like, how is this law? Because it's not law. And thankfully, this has been righted, so we can have some faith restored in the British system, at least. The then Attorney General, Suella Braverman, asked the Court of Appeal to look at the question again. Much of the English bar took a dislike to her the day she was appointed. A KC compared her to a cleaner. Bit racist.
I was just about to say. Isn't she from India as well?
That's... Yeah.
Dear, dear.
And lefty judges were like, she'd be cleaning my toilet. Eek.
Oh, that's not a good look, is it?
She was accused by MPs and lawyers alike of being an idiot, shameless, and of playing politics with the law, even threatening judicial independence to legalise crime. You serve at the pleasure of His Majesty to be His Majesty's courts, and funnily enough, your job is not to legalise crime.
What? Who are these children that don't understand that, you know, the law kind of has to be enforced? You can't just be like, yes, by the way. We're ignoring the law.
Apparently, this is the entire class of, I don't know, the last 10 years of law degrees in England. It's what they've come down to. Not only was irrelevant evidence admitted into the trial, but the defence was allowed to argue that the protesters genuinely believed they were preventing a crime by toppling the monument. This is brilliant. The monument being indecent or abusive, a point which the Attorney General did not refer to the Court of Appeal because she thought the answer would be so bloody obvious. But for all the legal obstructionism, the underlying issue is really very simple. Does the fact of being a protester, one of the 21st century's most vicious middle-class occupations, give people the right to smash things up as long as they were doing it as part of a demonstration?
No.
No. It's that simple. It wasn't for the judge, but it was for us. During the hearings, counsel for one of the Bristol defendants was asked if her argument would extend to other crimes, such as common assault and theft, if these acts were casually connected to a demonstration. So she was asked, well, okay, let's say you're at a protest, can you just start robbing people?
No.
She had no difficulty answering in the affirmative. She thought yes.
So, when it comes to something as grossly offensive as things like grooming gangs, does that mean, according to these people, obviously don't do this, but you could just be like, yes, indiscriminate mosque,
yeah,
vandalise it.
That is the legal argument. It failed in court this time. But it passed.
Thank goodness for that.
But the reason it passed the first time is obviously politics.
Mm-hmm.
It's just
the fact they had the gall to complain, oh, she's interfering, inserting politics into law. It's not as if, you know, law and politics are inextricably linked.
No. In other words, freedom of expression and of assembly could be used to justify punching people, as long as they were doing the punching by the protesters here, and not the innocent bystanders.
Oh, dear.
Now the Court of Appeal has rejected such self-evidently ludicrous propositions, Braverman's critics are remaining mostly mum. From the shadow cabinet to the inns of court, an uncomfortable silence reigns. The cleaner might, after all, have been right on the law. And to be honest, I think she should actually wear that with pride. But yeah, I'm the steam cleaner of this place.
She's cleaning out the legal profession. Yeah. There we go. That's got a positive spin on it.
Literally removing the filth. And it's fantastic. But this whole statue debate as well just reminds me of something in particular, which is the stupid debate that was around the butt plug sculpture. I don't remember this. This is in Paris. People who don't know about this, this was real. This isn't a photoshopped article. It really
By the way,
look
it says
it.
Paul McCarthy, not Paul McCartney. It's not a former member of the Beatles. Just inflating giant butt plugs in France, although that would be quite funny for an Englishman to do.
Yeah, I love the headline, though. Butt plug sculpture in Paris provokes right-wing backlash. Right-wing protesters accuse him of humiliating Paris. I really, just accuse. There's no evidence that he's humiliating Paris. Do you know who this was? It was a Yankee.
Of course.
A Los Angeles provocateur. Oh, really? Whose aggressive sculptures, installations, and videos have in the past depicted Snow White in sexual compromised positions and figures of George Bush making a copulation with pigs. Had also
sounds
installed
like a good guy.
This huge butt plug in Paris.
Ah, oh, dear me.
I love the immediate response, though, from the French, and I feel like we need more of this, especially in regards to statues about Lee Rigby enthusiasts. Killer enthusiasts. Yet, less than a day after its installation, it was gone, a victim of the conservative populist backlash that has upended French politics over the past year.
No, not the butt plug.
Where will left-wingism be without the butt plug? At the work's inauguration on Friday, a man accosted the artist, slapping his face three times before running off. How very French.
Well, they slapped Macron, didn't they? So.
Sacre bleu. Fuck off, God. Go back to America. But yeah, then a joke was born out of all of this, which is what will happen to Britain in the following years. And frankly, that is actually less offensive and obscene than putting up a statue to a murderer of British citizens who sided with the Germans.
At first, I thought it was a cactus, and I thought, oh, that's not too bad. And then I realised what it was.
I think that's what you tell the kids. Anyway.
Yes, YouTube. That's a cactus.
But there's also just the point of, like, well, why wouldn't they put this up, frankly? Why wouldn't Sadiq Khan defend this over a statue of Queen Elizabeth? Anyway, getting back to the point that fourth plinth is not enough, I have a proposal. Wonder what you think of it. So we see here, for people who have never been to Parliament Square, this is where I think we should put it instead. So there's a statue of Churchill that's down there, of course, that's well regarded. And then a whole bunch of other statues behind, which I don't really give a crap about. And frankly, I think we could clean all of those out, send them off to other parts around London. I'm sure wherever gets them will love them. And instead, just have a statue of Churchill and then a huge-ass goddamn statue of Queen Elizabeth II next to him.
She should just be towering over the square.
Yeah.
Like, that, you see that tower on the right-hand side? That should be, like, a third of how tall it should be.
Plate it in gold. Had some water features around it, like the one outside Buckingham Palace or whatever. Whatever you want. People will fund it. And there's also just the fact of then you get to clear up that zone, because it's a bit of a mess anyway.
Mm.
Yeah. Clear out the crap. Literally clear them out. But if we go to the next few images, you might wonder, oh no, but what about Emily Pankhurst? Yeah, well, I think Her Majesty embodies an honourable woman way more than she does, for one. Mm-hmm. Also, who cares, get lost. Yeah, you're not the Queen or Churchill.
To be fair, the dishwasher did more for women's rights than Emily Pankhurst did, so there is that.
That is factually true.
It genuinely is. It sounds quite facetious, but...
No, yeah, technology is what liberated women.
Mm-hmm.
But if we go to the next one here as well, we can also see Gandhi. Yeah, I don't care. The imperial connection we even had to the empire is now gone with Queen Elizabeth's death, so...
I mean, he's an anti-British nonce, so I don't know what... Well, maybe I shouldn't say that.
Is it true?
Well, yeah, he slept naked...
Stay away, I don't care.
He slept naked with his, like, 13-year-old niece to resist temptation.
Didn't know that.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm learning a lot about the statues in London today. And also the last one here being Mandela, which again, why did we have to begin with? I'm not being funny, what the frig?
He was a terrorist. He was in prison for a reason.
Yeah, and even if we ignore all the bad stuff he did and just he's a hero of modernising South Africa, number one, that experiment failed. But number two, like, why the hell have we got this here, of all places? Instead, clear out the area, make it for Churchill and Queen Elizabeth II. You know, you've got her grandfather literally to the right by Westminster Abbey. It should be a better idea in my mind. But either way, there definitely should be something better than a fourth plinth.
Absolutely.
Move on to the he-him hurricane.
You're going to make me laugh talking about something awful. Hang on, got to compose myself. So, if you're in the United States, or Florida in particular, you're probably aware of Hurricane Ian. And, of course, it's not exactly the most threatening name for a hurricane, and especially for a particularly severe one.
Yeah, they probably should have called it Satan or something.
Hurricane Pol Pot.
Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah. Hurricane Stalin. I'd be miles away. Like, I'm fleeing Stalin. But no, Ian, it doesn't sound particularly threatening, but there we go. But yes, 10 deaths have been confirmed so far, and there's no doubt that there will be more as the hurricane continues. It's been through Florida now, and it's on its way to South and North Carolina, at least at the time of recording this live. There is currently no figure calculated for how many people are missing because, of course, the hurricane is still going on. And apparently, at the minute, there are 2.5 million Floridians without electricity, and it hit both Cuba and Puerto Rico before it got to the United States, and Cuba completely lost electricity in the entire country when the hurricane went over. Apparently it's a Category 4 hurricane and has been reported as having a max wind speed of 555 miles per hour. I feel like a meteorologist saying all this stuff. Don't worry, there will be political stuff. I'm talking about this for a reason. And apparently it's one of the most powerful hurricanes ever recorded in the United States, although, you know, it's not done yet. So here's the live tracker at the minute, which is 25 minutes past one British summer time. It's coming up to just to the east of Charleston in South Carolina. So if you're there, please watch out. Be prepared. I'm sure you already are. You know what you're doing. But that's where it's going, and you can live track it. And if you have a look down further down, John, you can see that the colour of the line indicates how severe it was. So down when it was getting towards Florida, near Cape Coral, it was at its worst. And it, as it went across the peninsula, it kind of petered out, and it's gaining severity again as it's coming up to Carolina. So let's have a little bit of a look at some of the footage that I've been able to find.
Just to correct something real quick in the chat, I've seen 155 miles per hour, not 500.
Did I say 500?
I was going
like, no, 155, sorry. Apparently I can't read. So here is the eye of the storm moving over. You can see it's eerily quiet, but it looks pretty ominous.
That's pretty cool, to be honest.
It is quite cool looking, isn't it? But it also looks kind of terrifying. I mean, I wouldn't want to be there in, say, an hour's time. And then this next one, this is in Naples, Florida. The water was getting so high outside, so obviously some of it's leaked through. If you can play the video, John, some of it's leaked through, but it's bursting through the doorways. I don't know whether the person recording that's okay. I would presume so, but it's getting pretty severe. In some places, I heard it was up to 1.5 meters high. Here we have something a bit more wholesome. We've got some sandhill cranes trying to resist the hurricane. I didn't want to make it all depressing, so.
I'm sorry to laugh, but just her voice, which is like, no.
That is sad. But I think that this is kind of the preamble. This isn't the main event. And something else that's quite wholesome here, there's a tweet that we should have, John. There we go, of someone saving a cat from the flood water. They've got some beachfront property, and the cat was hiding on what looked like an air conditioner. And look at the water surging through behind there. So if they hadn't have done that, cat would probably be soaked at the very least. But yes, with the wholesome stuff out of the way, let's talk about some horrible stuff. So let's have a look at this next video, which is a 30-minute time lapse in Sanibel Island in Florida.
You missed it, but that kid, he looked so happy at the end.
It was like giving him a hug, wasn't it? It was great.
So if people listening, we're watching a time-lapse. There's no audio.
So yes, at the minute, it's getting higher and higher to the point where the entire street is now covered in water. It just keeps on carrying on. And this is over the space of just half an hour. So it's pretty severe where it stops there. And it probably got much worse than that as well. So it could potentially be covering entire homes. So apparently there is also preparation here. So this is 42,000 linemen. I don't know why there's audio. I don't know what the audio is about.
But it's just getting hyped.
But this is lots of linemen to come and repair Florida's electricity in preparation. And it's a massive fleet, which is nice to see actual preparation. I don't know whether this is DeSantis is doing or whether it was federal or what, but it seems like there's at least preparation this time to fix it. But now we know roughly what's going on so far. Let's talk a little bit about the left-wing reactions to it, which is the whole reason really that I'm covering this, other than obviously drawing attention to the human tragedy side of it. And here's one Twitter checkmark saying it costs approximately $1,200 for someone to evacuate a massive hurricane like Ian. So with the $12 million in taxpayer funds Governor DeSantis spent exploiting refugees, he could have covered those costs for 10,000 Floridians.
Yeah, I'd rather get rid of the refugees.
Mm-hmm.
Also, is that real? Like, why does it cost that much to evacuate? Does he mean like a day before the disaster?
Or? I'm not entirely sure, but...
How much is gas?
Also, if the refugees were there, surely that's more people to evacuate.
Also, how many Floridians is a refugee worth, Sawyer? What if a refugee had died? That might be worth 10,000 Floridians, so... I don't know.
Yeah,
I feel like the left-wing calculus is not complete.
Shipping them to New York and other places now is a humanitarian policy at this point. So, there we go. Yeah. But yes, the main focus here is upon it being used to justify the climate agenda. So here we have NPR, which is one of many outlets that tried to link a hurricane to climate change. Here it says, climate change makes storms like Ian more common. And then we have Vox. Hurricane Ian's rapid intensification is a sign of the world to come. And then we move on to Time. Yes, climate change is making storms like Hurricane Ian worse. And then we have The Washington Post. How climate change is rapidly fueling super hurricanes. Not even just regular hurricanes, but super hurricanes. Then we have CBS. How climate change is helping storms like Hurricane Ian intensify more rapidly. And then The Atlantic, for some reason, had a bit more nuance, but not quite. Honestly, the link between climate change and hurricanes is complicated. Not that it doesn't exist, just that it's complicated.
You wouldn't understand, bro.
Mm-hmm. And then this next one is just ridiculous. So this is ABC News. So it's titled, Study Finds That Climate Change Added 10% to Ian's Rainfall. It's not done yet. The hurricane's still going. Like, also, what kind of research can you do in, like, a day or two and then publish it? Well, let's have a look at the
fake
the
research
article.
Like, what, Josh, what if I just make up the numbers then, what idiot?
when I did my psychology master's, which was covering research methodology, it took me like 6 months to do a study, not like a day or two. So
yeah, but if we just make everything up, it's
yeah. So apparently, according to this article, climate change added at least 10% more rain to Hurricane Ian, a study prepared immediately after the storm shows. It's not over, by the way. Thursday's research, which is not peer-reviewed, worth drawing attention to that line, compared peak rainfall rates during the real storm to about 20 different computer scenarios of a model with Hurricane Ian's characteristics slamming into the Sunshine State in a world with no human-caused climate change. So it's a computer simulation, so it's entirely possible that the parameters when they're trying to replicate things as complicated as, say, the entire climate and all of the factors that play into that. Maybe they just put the numbers in wrong.
Yeah,
like, there's certainty on this 10% figure on a non-peer-reviewed study. I mean, it's clear that they've just rushed it out for clout to get their names out there, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm always bored with this kind of stuff where people are like, oh, specific numbers for climate predictions of anything, never mind like a day after, because you can't even tell me the weather in a week.
I know. Yeah.
Ain't trusting this.
9 times out of 10, though, it's raining and they still manage to get it wrong, at least in Britain.
Yeah.
It's just a sign that the science is not quite there yet. But my favourite out of everything here is this final clip with Don Lemon getting shut down. So he's talking to the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration's National Hurricane Centre head, which is quite a mouthful. And he brings up climate change. Let's hear what this actual expert has to say.
Can you tell us what this is and what effect climate change has on this phenomenon?
Well, we can come back and talk about climate change at a later time. I want to focus on the here and now. We think the rapid intensification is probably almost done. There could be a little bit more intensification as it's still over the warm waters of the eastern Gulf of Mexico, but I don't think we're going to get any more rapid intensification. If you look here, you can actually see, pretty interesting for your viewers, you can actually see a second eye wall forming around the inner eye wall, and that's basically the second eye wall has overtaken the original eye wall, and that should arrest development.
I'm just trying to get that. You said you want to talk about climate change, but what effect does climate change have on this phenomenon that is happening now, because it seems these storms are intensifying That's the question.
I don't think you can link climate change to any one event. Okay. On the whole, on the cumulative, climate change may be making storms worse, but to link it to any one event, I would caution against that.
Okay. Well, listen, I grew up there, and these storms are intensifying. Something is causing them to intensify.
I grew up there, therefore,
emotional investment to spin this bollocks, all right? It's like, no, that's obviously just an offence because you just got shut down.
Yeah, my anecdotal evidence is worth way more than you, who've probably spent your life studying this phenomenon.
But he's so right, though. This is also another problem where you get, mm-hmm. It's been mentioned before about the concept of global warming and people arguing about that. We have a guy go, huh, snowball, snowing outside, no global warming, idiot. And then it'll be summer and you'll get all these articles from left-wingers being like, ooh, look. Sun hot, global warming, ah! Like,
why the press Mexican all of a sudden?
I just like a caveman, but okay. But it's just the ridiculous nature of like, oh, things happened. Oh, look, global warming, tell me. Need that. It's the same thing. Oh, look, hurricane, climate change, yeah. Mm-hmm. Look at this. Like, a wood sets on fire. Oh, climate change, yeah. Dude, stop. Just stop for 5 minutes. You can't tell me, mm-hmm. This pattern of behavior is evidenced by a one event thing that's going on right now.
I know, it's so ridiculous,
so
isn't
painful.
It? But all of the mainstream media, particularly the left-wing press, all went for this narrative. They're all saying, yes, climate change this, climate change that. And the actual people who know what they're talking about are just like, well, no, you can have a conversation about that maybe, but you can't link it to one weather event that's not even over yet as well.
Like, how does all of cooking affect this lemon? I'm like, what? Talking about?
So Fox News also picked up on the fact that the left-wing media was talking about this, and they did some really good work here. So I'm going to read from this article titled "Democrats Blaming Climate Change for Hurricane Ian at Odds with Science, Experts Say." And they reached out to their own experts. So multiple experts contacted by Fox News Digital argued that there is insufficient evidence to suggest climate change caused Hurricane Ian or any individual natural disaster. The experts' comments come as a series of media outlets, Democrats and progressive commentators continue to blame the hurricane on human-caused global warming. And I quote here, "What they're trying to do is politicise the pain and suffering of these people to promote their green agenda." Gregory Wrightstone, the executive director of the climate policy think tank CO2 Coalition, told Fox News Digital in an interview. So when that guy is just coming out and saying you're politicising other people's suffering, when he has... He's working for a think tank that's talking about CO2. I mean, surely he would have a bit of an agenda to push here. But no, he's saying that these people are clearly, morally bankrupt, which is true. He carries on to say, well, their policies and their agenda to promote renewables will do far greater economic destruction to the country and Florida, he's saying, than the hurricane, which is incredibly based. I mean, I never thought these climate scientists and what have you would actually have it in them, but well done. So it carries on to say, over the last several days, media outlets including the New York Times, Associated Press, Politico, NPR, Axios have published news stories reporting the climate change is to blame for Hurricane Ian and the storm's rapid intensification. Time magazine article said the science is well known that climate change
source,
created. When someone says
it is the meme, which is like the source, it is known. Trust us.
If anyone says that the science is out there, we've completely made up our minds. It's established. They don't know anything about science. I mean, I've worked in that world. Scientists will argue about the most meaningless stuff just to be as exact as possible. So anyone claiming agreement just doesn't know scientists. They will argue over anything. So, carrying on, it says, in addition, Senator Amy Klobuchar, a Democrat for Minnesota, appeared to suggest that Americans need to vote for Democrats to avoid future hurricanes during an interview on Tuesday. So, yes. Republicans, the party of hurricanes, apparently.
Blue will control the weather.
I wonder if there is a particular red state in Asia that does something like that. Not the Chinese.
Do you remember when Joe Biden was running? He said, "You vote for me if I get in, we'll cure cancer." And it was laughable.
Yeah.
But to be like, I will make it, I'll control the weather. I don't know. I'm going to give up even trying to claim that I'm campaigning on anything real at this point.
If you vote Democrat, they'll stop hurricanes forever.
They'll cure cancer. They'll stop the hurricanes.
They'll stop you standing on plugs when they're overturned and hurting your foot. They can do it all.
Doesn't have any Yankees.
Does it not?
Different.
Oh, yeah, of course. Damn it.
They will make everyone a millionaire with inflation, though, so...
That's true. So it carries on to say, Representative Raja Krishnamoorthy, I butchered that, I did my best, Democrat for Illinois, tweeted on Thursday that the rapid storm intensification we're seeing with Hurricane Ian will become more common and more dangerous as the climate changes. I'm quoting directly here. Ian is a climate change hurricane. Pam Keith, a former Democratic Senate candidate and founder of left-wing firm Center for Employment Justice, tweeted on Wednesday. So yes, the Democrats are definitely pushing this as well. It's not just the media. And I quote again, Hurricane Ian is a textbook example of climate change impacting people. Nina Turner, a senior fellow at Progressive Think Tank Institute on Race, Power and Political Economy, added also that climate change isn't political, it's reality. Which is madness.
Yeah, you're also a race witch doctor, so I know it's not. I don't take your advice on anything.
I thought you were just going to call her a race witch, which is quite funny.
Well, yeah, that too. I make you black, I make you white. What did you do? You voted for Trump.
So, carrying on, it says, however, Wrightstone and the other experts contacted by Fox News Digital rejected those arguments, arguing that individual storms cannot be linked to climate change. And I quote here, if you read what the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, or NOAA, says on hurricanes, there is just not enough data. Steve Milloy, a senior legal fellow at the Energy and Environment Legal Institute, told Fox News Digital, there's nothing to back up what they're saying, he continued. There were about 16 major hurricanes between 1916 and 1965, but only six since 1965. So clearly major hurricanes happen with lower levels of carbon dioxide. That doesn't add up for them. So he's saying it's actually the other way around. So there we go. So it's also worth mentioning that, you know, I'm not against caring about the environment, and neither is Harry. Here he has a video, how to be a conservative environmentalist. It basically means just not buying into the climate death cult and just making the world around you, your local area, more beautiful.
You won't control the weather by voting red. Funny enough.
We'll just make things look nicer. We won't try and stop hurricanes by pumping weird stuff into the atmosphere. So yes, there's also another ridiculous take, and that is that hurricanes are racist. Of course. You know, the race crowd have to get in on this. And it's titled, Hurricanes Disproportionately Harm Black Neighborhoods. It's because of environmental racism. It's hurricanes, they're just racist.
Gaia herself come upon the earth to say the N-word.
Did you see footage of Hurricane Ian? It was wearing this white robe, it had this pointy hat on.
Yeah, with the satellite imagery. Very white. Little eye poking through the middle.
But yes, it is arguing, I'm going to read a little bit from it, but not all of it, as Hurricane Ian touches down in Florida, remember who suffers the most. The destruction from hurricanes is never equally distributed. Well, yes, because it happens in the South more, and funnily enough, there are more people of colour in the South. I mean, it's, you know, there's this historic thing called slavery, where it meant that the freed slaves all just stayed where they
can't reason with stupid, mate. You can try, but... like saying, you know, the sun is racist because it shines more on Arabs. It's like,
they're more likely to get skin cancer. Yeah. The sun hates them. So it says there is an extra element of fear for black folks during hurricane season. Even though hurricanes don't specifically target black communities, their lasting impact always seems to affect black people the most. I mean, how...
I thought they did target them. I thought the hurricane was like, it's a Jewish neighborhood, I'll leave that alone. I'm going to
buy a So yes, apparently when Hurricane Harvey flooded Texas in 2017, the southwest Houston neighborhood that suffered the worst flood damage was 49% non-white. It's just like, yes. Racism, it must be. If the weather targets them,
rising against the black race.
It's like, is it the Hadiths where it's saying that nature itself?
Yeah, the rocks and the trees will shout out, "Oh Muslim, oh servant of Allah, there is a Jew hiding behind me. Come and kill him." And in this example, it's the water and the wind will shout out, "I don't know, oh Gaia, there is a black man in this neighborhood. Come and destroy it."
Well, now we've established that water is racist, we can now finally settle the debate about why so few black people know how to swim. This is...
God's sakes.
I'm sorry. I couldn't resist.
Terrible joke.
So it carries on basically to argue that so-called African Americans are largely in poorer neighborhoods that are less equipped to deal with hurricane damage. But then, I mean, just focusing in on these sorts of people, I mean, look at Florida. You had lots of expensive yachts being damaged. You had these lovely beachfront properties. I mean, surely that's a larger impact on one family. Their lovely house being destroyed, their yacht crashing into their house to destroy it. I mean, I saw them sailing down. Yeah. But yes, obviously.
That is a Cole Pilkington argument, actually, isn't it?
Yeah.
So I can't remember, I think it's Bruce Wayne or whatever, goes on these environmental marches. Yeah, well, he's got three homes. Whereas for me, just end it.
But I'm not trying to make light of people suffering, obviously. I don't want anyone to have a bad time with the hurricane. And I hope everyone watching is safe and sound, as well as the people out in the thick of it. But calling it a climate change problem, or calling it a climate-linked hurricane, is just ridiculous. And yeah, obviously, there's no evidence for people doing this.
If only you had voted blue, then there would be no hurricane. Yeah, I believe that. But we shall move on to the mermaids.
Mm-hmm.
I just realize how like nonsensical all that means. So the mermaid witch doctors is something I'm going to talk about today, which I just realized how fantasy all of that fits in perfectly.
You do sound like you've just got out of a straitjacket.
The mermaid witch doctors, man, we gotta deal with them, man.
I mean, even Alex Jones is just like, whoa, chill out about that.
Interdimensional demons, no, the mermaid witch doctors, that's a real thing in Britain. What am I saying? Anyway, before we go forth, we'll start with a piece of content at lowercs.com, of course, being analysing what is a woman, this being very relevant to what I'm about to talk about. For folks who don't know, mermaids, they don't swim in the sea. No, this is instead a charity, who is insistent on transitioning children and is entirely famous for that. Which
they swim in piles of cash and child abuse, that's what they swim in.
Yeah, I don't know how the mermaid's rhetoric gets into the idea that you should chop off half your body and become a fish or something, and that's like transgenderism because...
I've never thought of it like that.
Why are they called mermaids? I don't really know why they chose that name.
I suppose because a mermaid is part one thing, part another, right? As in, it's part fish, part human.
But that makes the whole argument sound even stupider. It's like, we're going to turn your kid into half fish. What? Get out of my house. But in case you're wondering that this might be a fringe lunatic movement, I'm just bringing up that no, the huge thing in British society at this point. If you go to the next link here, we can see that they're actually now being investigated for child abuse by the police.
I'm really not surprised.
Yeah. This is for chest binding. Which, it's a beautiful thing when it happens in the West, but in the rest of the world it's barbaric and we've criminalised it. Which was kind of a mistake, because now we have to criminalise the beautiful thing in the West. Amazing logic. Chest binding could be child abuse, say police amid mounting horror.
Could
at
be.
Mermaid's trans charity. Could be, I don't know. I mean, it says in this law that it's illegal, but...
That's like the Met police coming out saying, well, if you punch your child in the face, that could be child abuse. Well, the jury's out.
Yeah. What am I, a police officer? I don't know. Chest binding is a potential child abuse, the Metropolitan Police have said, over the concerns of the trans charity, who wants to turn your kid into a fish. sorry, but I can't get over that name that I thought about. It's even more stupid than... anyway. Scotland Yard has said that if police receive reports of a child using a breast binder, which is used to flatten the chest, officers will investigate it along with social services. So if there is a child who has been given a chest binder to flatten their breasts, then that is child abuse, and the police will intervene along with social services to save that child from the abuse, from whoever's the abuser, and in this case, it's a trans charity.
I don't know why it's taken this long. I mean, we've known about this for years now.
Yeah. It comes after investigation by The Telegraph that found that Mermaids has been discreetly sending binders to children as young as 13, 14, whose parents will not let them use one.
How do they do that then? Do they post out? Do you have to, like, would a child apply for one and they would send it in the mail anonymously, but then... If I were getting post, my parents would be asking me, what's that?
It's very creepy. Mermaids do a lot of stuff in schools, so I imagine it's via the schools. So you handed over your child to the state to take care of them for a few hours while you do your job, and then pay taxes and all that to fund all of this, the state will come in and invite charities like this to literally abuse your children.
It's horrifying, isn't it? And
yeah, I mean, the West does look more and more unappetizing.
I don't know whether you're going into the damage that these things can do. Are you talking about that?
We will do a little bit.
Okay, I won't spoil it then.
Yeah, I don't want to do too much because it's a bit gross. But on the website, the Metropolitan Police describes the offence of breast ironing, also called breast flattening, which is a form of female genital mutilation, most commonly practiced in Cameroon. So it was a crime and put on the statute books as a crime. And then this ideology turned up and made it a common occurrence by a group like Mermaids, and now the police are sat there like, crap, we actually have to go after our own ideological comrades here. Which is, I guess, good to see. I don't know what else to say. The force describes it as child abuse and says that sometimes an elastic belt or binder is used to stop the breasts from growing.
Yeah, it's horrific.
According to guidance from the Crown Prosecution Service, breast ironing is an offence regardless of consent. It is not possible to consent to serious assault. Yeah. Not possible to consent to genital mutilation either.
I've never heard the Met Police say something actually sensible before.
No.
I'm sure they're feeling all right.
This is the weirdness, because all of this obviously applies to what is going on with Mermaid's activities, but all of these statements were previously made in response to what was going on in Cameroon.
Oh.
We have to save the girls of Cameroon, so we will do these things because women's rights.
So they're not talking specifically about the Mermaid thing, they're talking about the Cameroon...
Well, these are statements on breast ironing and breast flattening, which both of these groups are engaging in, but only one is being actively criminalised, whereas the police have now realised, oh crap, we have to do this because it's legal, and now are investigating Mermaids for exactly this. Mermaids has not commented directly on the findings of the Telegraph's investigation, but said it takes a harm reduction position, which is why it abuses children. Cool. That providing a binder and safety guidelines, quote, is preferable to the likely alternative of unsafe practices and or continued or increasing dysphoria. Okay, witch doctor. You are a witch doctor. You are nothing else here. You're like, yeah, well, this may be child abuse, is destroying their bodies, but it is better than them being a little bit confused. It is better than them maybe turning back on all of this and saying, hang on, those guys at Mermaids are groomers. I'm leaving.
Well, yeah, children shouldn't be thinking about this sort of thing anyway. They should be protected from this sort of nonsense because they don't have the mental maturity to understand that an adult is pushing something onto them.
Sure, but the adults in Mermaids can accurately be described as child abusers, and the defence of the child abuse is, well, we think it's safer than alternatives. It's like, right, so you're saying you're a child abuser and you think that's a good thing. Cool. Cool, I'm glad we're there.
It's sickening.
Literal witch doctors, don't know what to say. Before it offers to send the binder, they do their due diligence, however, Mermaid staff alert the children to a study by the Johns Hopkins School of Public Health, which found that 97% of adult users experience health impacts from the binding, including pain, rib fractures, changes to the spine, headaches, respiratory and skin infections, as well as muscle wasting.
That sounds way worse than a bit of gender dysphoria. I don't know about you, but that nice menu of health problems is enough to cripple someone, basically, isn't it?
Be sure to check with your doctor and parents. Oh, wait, no, we can't let you do that because, well, then we wouldn't be able to get away with it.
At least we haven't got to the point where the GPs are handing them out, here's your chest binder prescription.
But that's the thing, it's just like, yeah, here's all the... Number one, you give a health study to a child. You think they're going to read that. Most adults don't read health studies off with that. But then, oh, but we've told them about the side effects, which are terrible. And then you're saying, yeah, but child abuse? Not as bad as this? Like, sorry?
It's a terrible argument, isn't it?
It's just like, you're going to do all of this in the aid of, trust us, it's not as bad as them being a bit confused. Great. On Tuesday, Baroness Nicholson of Winterbourne, a Tory peer, said, quote, I have been closely following the Mermaid saga with mounting horror that this so-called charity is allowed by our laws to abuse the essential parental responsibility of health and welfare of their children.
Hear, hear.
Yeah, 100%. And good to see a Tory peer doing the job there, which is, you know, raising awareness of this and saying this needs to be legislated. These child abusers need to be tried with the crime they've committed.
To be fair, the eye of Westminster is somewhat on these trans charities because they've been going after a few of them now, haven't they? Because they basically defunded Stonewall too. I'm not sure if you're going to talk about that as well.
I have previously. We're well aware. And I just wanted to mention though, because there's the reality. You know, there it is in Cameroon, as mentioned by the police. Illegal because of women's rights. Done it for trans people. Crap, it's still illegal. So they're having to enforce the law. But I thought we'd go and check out what the left wing generally thinks when this is happening in Cameroon instead. We go to a Vice article here. We have their headline saying, the victims of Cameroon's horrific breast ironing tradition. Yeah. Yeah, what about the tradition in England? They're doing the same thing. Then what, Vice? Vice magazine. For the most part, the flattening is carrying out by female family members, either at home or with the assistance of a healer. I mean, this is what I mean, witch doctor.
Healer.
This is witch doctor crap.
Oh.
The process begins as soon as the girls hit puberty. Really? Yeah, funny. Yeah, exactly the same. For some, that means as an early as 8 years old. Oh, but they do it a little bit sooner, so it's a bit worse. As if mermaids wouldn't start here. They have the option. The consequences of this can be disastrous for the victim's health. Cysts, breast cancer, and breastfeeding issues are all common, not to mention the abundance of psychological consequences linked to the practice.
Well, it was saying at the top of the Vice article that they use sometimes a hot spatula.
Yeah.
Could you imagine doing that to a child, putting a hot spatula
up
against and
the health
horrifying.
Impacts of both methods are the same.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, okay, we accurately identify that these are a bunch of witch doctors when it comes to this. Whereas when it happens with mermaids, it's fantastic. It's at least they don't have gender dysphoria anymore. But yeah, you just ruined their life. Nothing big. Anyway, we go to the next link because also the Charity Commission is also investigating mermaids. So more good news. Backlash is happening. I'm happy to see it. The regulator said it had opened a regulatory compliance case after concerns were raised about the trans charity's approach to safeguarding of young people, which is that they don't. What if we just don't safeguard young people? Pretty cool idea, let's do it. And that's what they did. The charity has been sending potentially dangerous breast binders devices to children behind their parents' backs and discussing with them how puberty-blocking drugs are totally reversible. Trust us, bro.
Based on what?
Don't tell your parents. Because if you tell them, they might find out they're not reversible.
That is just a flat-out lie, isn't it?
Just sick. Everyone in this organization is deeply sick. Mermaids, which receives funding from the taxpayer and runs training sessions for schools, the NHS, the police force, has been contacted by the regulator. So there we are. That's the kind of tentacles they had. And they're now being chopped off, hopefully. In the last month, there were discussions in the charity's moderated forum for 12 to 15-year-olds on how to raise money to start taking drugs. And the best way to take testosterone.
Okay. I thought this was just like a side project. Just like, yeah, we're also getting kids addicted to drugs. Yeah, we're good.
What's the difference?
Well, yeah.
I would rather the kiddo smoked weed than took this. True. Especially with the lie. It's totally reversible. First, it's free. Like, it's just, yeah, you're a bunch of drug dealers and child abusers. Okay. I'm sorry, but like, how has this ideology lasted more than 5 minutes? But money. Just money, I guess. Our moderator also publicly congratulated a teenage user, it's like a drug user, for deciding that they were transgender by the age of 13 and decided that they wanted to use drugs and all the surgeries.
Does it actually say that in the...
Yeah, that's the rendition. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do.
I'm laughing only because it's so horrific.
I don't know
how to react to this. This is just
a lot of people get mad at me laughing
awful.
At a lot of stuff because it's terrible. I am so in clown world at this point. I just laugh because you will kill yourself if you don't. Mothers have said that they are horrified by what young adolescents are being exposed to behind their parents' backs. Why? Isn't it great? No, it's not. It's hell on earth. In a previous complaint to the commission, one parent said she was hugely concerned that conversations with homophobic content made her son believe being gay was unacceptable and rushed him into believing he needed to be medically transitioned. Which, that's a new one. So mermaids are also very Islamic. They're taking the Iranian approach.
Yes.
You're gay? That's pretty cringe, bro. Maybe you're a girl. Actually, what happened? Great. Despite growing evidence about the danger of puberty blockers, growing evidence. You know these drugs were used to castrate prisoners? Yeah, what are we giving to kids? What do you mean there might be side effects? I don't know. As if no one knew. Mermaids maintains that they are, quote, internationally recognised, safe, reversible healthcare option, which has been recommended by medical authorities in the UK and internationally for decades. Yeah, okay, I believe this. Number one, I don't believe it. Even if it is, then okay, every one of those health authorities needs to be looked at. The hard drive sieved, because I don't know what's wrong with you. But you might wonder, how does a interdimensional satanic organization, as Alex Jones might say, stay afloat? The mermaid witch doctors? Yankee money, partly.
Of course. Yeah. Alongside our own tax money.
Oh, look at that. It's AOC. She got dragged into this. This is Andy Ngo reporting. Thank you, Andy. Congresswoman AOC directed her followers to support the child's trans group, now under investigation by British authorities for child abuse and being a drug dealer, frankly. I'm saying that because you literally are bragging about giving drugs to kids. I don't know if you can click on that one, actually, John, just on the Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez tweet itself. Oh, would you look at that? What she was talking about has been deleted.
No way. Oh. It's almost like it might be embarrassing.
Good thing there's an archive. In case you were wondering what the hell it was. So you have AOC saying if you'd like to use this as a good moment to support the queer community. The queer community are not a bunch of child abusing drug dealers, I hope. That's AOC's characterization, not mine. You can go and give support to mermaids, she says at the time, and the Yankee money rolled in. And you can see here, mermaids, what they deleted, because they're embarrassed now, is them tweeting out here, thank you to everyone who has donated and supported this amazing spontaneous event. Watch H-Bomber Guy online now as he tries to finish Donkey Kong 64.
What?
You remember this? People who know who H-Bomber Guy is. Leftist YouTuber who was raising money, doing live streams for mermaids. And now we found out what mermaids did with that money, which is abuse kids and deal drugs. Interesting.
That was such a non sequitur at first, where it's just like, now watch someone play Donkey Kong 64.
Yeah, it was a fundraising event to raise money to do this to kids.
Oh, dear.
And everyone on the left was happy to do this, and now they're trying to hide it, at least mermaids are, by deleting that tweet. Which I think
I'm not surprised.
Tight. Yeah. Suppose we'll go to the next one now, just to see what mermaids are up to these days. As you can see here, racial pride flag in the bio, a hashtag we can all get on board with, trans is beautiful. It's like, yeah.
Is
yeah.
it?
Child abusers are not, and that's you. And if you scroll down, you can see no one's allowed to comment. Just scroll a bit more. Yeah, comments are turned off.
I can imagine what would be commented if they had open comments. It'd be lots of pictures of really poorly passing trans people, I imagine.
Well, it would also just be like, groomer. Which, you go into schools, you take my money as a taxpayer to then abuse children. Funnily enough, we're enemies. We're not going to thank you and send you money like H-Bomber Guy and AOC did. That's for sure. Again, is H. Bomber Guy even British? I can't remember.
I don't know.
The Yankee money coming in here and destroying our country. I know it's not Americans, don't get me wrong. I'm saying Yankee to be like leftists, because it is them. If we go to the next one here, we can see Vox also, their reaction to all of this kind of news. This is an article they published today, which I have to just tell you about. What's so scary about a transgender child? The headline reads, with the byline saying, stop worrying about what happens if we let kids transition. Worry about what happens if we don't.
That sounds almost like a threat, doesn't it?
It's almost like they're admitting, yeah, we know this is terrible, don't think about it. Just don't stop mentioning it. Nothing goes wrong.
Do you want your genetic lineage to end
with you? We know that we give drugs to kids that are not reversible, but stop thinking about that and worry about the suicide rate. Again, I am so bored of this argument of, trust me, the suicide rate for trans people is so bad, we need to ruin society.
There's also the fact that the post-op rate goes up.
It's just not scientific in the slightest. It's just like, okay. You're just all mad. Right, cool. And evil. And the reason I think they're retreating into this crevice is because they've had the successful pushback amongst the entire Anglosphere. And well done chaps to everyone who's been part of it. And now they are retreating back to. But think of the suicide rates, because that's how we got here. And people didn't know enough about what was going on. And now we do. And no one's going to buy it. Until this year, this conversation about trans kids has mostly been carried out in the media, with publications from the New York Times and Atlantic to Los Angeles Times publishing stories that suggested medical practitioners aren't doing enough to vet potential transitioners under the age of 18.
So implicit in that is something interesting, that they're saying, yeah, it's largely the media. There isn't really an appetite for it in the general population. It's just, you know, the journalist types.
Yeah, but also the journalists are reporting all these stories where we transition kids and that's not necessary. So there we have the evidence. I know this is difficult, but so we have the evidence, and then what do we do with that evidence? I don't know, some kind of look at it, decide what we should do in response to it, which is maybe transition less people or no people who don't need to do it.
Looking at evidence, what, are you a transphobe?
Yeah, literally. There is evidence that we've gone too far, right, Vox? So let's go more. But those stories aren't about passing legislation, at least on their face. They were typically aimed at a presumed audience of parents. The Atlantic emblazoned on its 2018 cover the words, quote, your child says he's trans. He wants hormones and surgery. He's 13. Only it didn't use the right pronouns to refer to the real trans boy who served as its model. You'll notice I read that out because it's a quote. It was she. They changed it to he in this article to hide the reality.
Oh, dear.
Because these people haven't watched 1984, I guess. But it's also a testament to, as you say, look how quickly things have changed. 2018, an outlet like The Atlantic were willing to say, yeah, the pronouns are not not doing that. Now, they would never dare. Parents have been receiving an onslaught of messages about what could go wrong if their child was transitioned.
Well, I mean...
What could go wrong? What happens every time a child is transitioned?
I like how they say messages, not information, not evidence.
No.
Just messages.
You're going to have to dilate for the rest of your life? Is that something that goes wrong, or is that something that happens to everyone who does the bottom surgery? Because I think it's the latter. In which case, it's not a side effect. Like, this is your game. This is a feature, not a bug. They've rarely been asked to consider what could go wrong if they weren't able to. Yeah. We are running a real-time, an experiment on what happens when you don't accept trans kids. No, we're not. The entire West is the entire opposite. We're running an experiment about what happens when you do this to a bunch of kids who don't need it done. And we're starting to get the results. It ain't pretty. The risks inherent in treating a trans child's identity as a temporary fancy can be considerable. Most importantly, keeping a teenager from transitioning before puberty. Yeah, because if we don't lock them in before puberty, we might not get through with it.
It's so silly as well. The notion of even halting puberty or the amounts of...
flattening their breasts.
Yeah, all of these sorts of things obviously are going to do more harm to them than enforcing their own delusions. Probably many of these children have been socialised rather than it being actual, genuine gender dysphoria.
Yeah. To be treated. No, just, as previously mentioned, we don't abuse children, right, Vox? I mean, just translating into reality here, because that's the British law, in case the Americans don't like it. If we don't abuse children, well, who knows what might happen? It's like, okay,
you're
getting arrested. Like,
none of this stuff existed when I was a kid, and all of it, and for some mysterious reason, I never considered becoming a woman.
Yeah, I can't get over the idea of, imagine someone coming to you and saying, well, if I don't rape women, imagine what might happen to them. Police? Yeah, can you arrest this guy?
What would happen would be they would have a normal childhood, is what would happen.
Yeah. So we have a quote from a trans activist. Quote, puberty blockers are reversible, but the puberty that transgender kids go through without them isn't. Lie number one. Okay, we're off to just fake news start. Okay. They then say, puberty writes itself into your bones.
That's a really weird turn of phrase. It does change your skeletal structure, yes.
No, keep it in mind. Puberty is in your fucking bones. It's that base to your life. However, without blockers and at appropriate age, hormones, it forces transgender girls, who are girls like any other.
Oh, yeah.
It's in your bones, but transgender girls are girls like any other, except in actual reality, that the person admits themselves. To grow facial hair and broad angular features, and forces transgender boys to grow breasts and wide hips. It doesn't force them. It's your destiny to do this. It's not force. Jesus Christ. In effect, can only be reversed by very expensive and difficult to access surgeries in adulthood, and even then only partially. No, not partially. Never. You are never going to beat your biology. It's not something anyone can do. Actual madness. The recent hyperfocus on trans youth is largely a media invention, says Jules Gill Peterson, a history professor at Johns Hopkins University. The more I'm hearing about Johns Hopkins, the more I kind of just want to be like...
Also, history professor has opinion about...
medicine. We needed medical advice, so we couldn't talk to the medical practitioners because they disagreed, so we went to the history department.
Oh, dear.
What does this history professor have to say? Trans people and trans youth were never really objects of the media until recently. I really don't think most people ever encountered the idea that they would share the world with a trans youth until 10 years ago.
Well, that's kind of true, yeah.
Well, yeah, great, thanks for the admission, Gil. Which is that all of this is just new. This is a new thing. It's weird. It's an ideological and financial fad, to say the least. And we can evidence that claim just by looking at the data. Again, I know, terrible. There you have it. We're looking at a graph of LGBTQ identification by generation. And all of humanity is pretty normal. You maybe have, you could argue with the millennials, there's a huge uptick there. Let's give them the benefit of the doubt and say that, I don't know, all of a sudden 10% of all humanity became gay. Don't think so, but whatever. And then Gen Z, 20%.
So that's like population collapse levels of not engaging in having children.
So in four generations, 100% of humanity will be gay, and that's totally normal. That's actually the norm, the traditionalist position. Nothing is happening whatsoever. Yeah, no one believes this. No one's believing that for 5 minutes. We'll just go back quickly to how they justify it, which is at the end of this article. We don't listen to children. We treat children as manifestly inferior to adults. We give them less rights, says Gill.
There's a reason for that.
Yeah, children can't consent. It's that simple. He goes on to argue, I don't have time for it, there's just a big paragraph of him arguing that children have some kind of consent and agency to be adults.
Actual
garbage.
That's like MAPS level justification, isn't it?
Yeah, funny that. But checking in on the adults real quick, because, well, how do adults even navigate our clown society? We have here Guido Fawkes reporting from the Labour Party conference. I had to throw it in. Rosie Duffield, the MP who believes that women exist, decided to come out and give a speech saying, Eddie Izzard is not a woman, and I am absolutely not the only Labour MP who will leave the party if Eddie Izzard gets on an all-women shortlist. Yeah, reality. And in response, she gets a huge round of applause and whooping from the audience, which I've said before, is just a testament to how effed we are.
I feel like I'm in the film Idiocracy at this point. It's like, women are real. Yes.
She said it. Good God. But my point being that if adults are apparently so retarded that we can't navigate our clown society, how on earth do you expect a child to do such a thing without making a terrible, terrible mistake? It's impossible, frankly. And in which case, the child abusers deserve their investigation by the police and the Charities Commission. Good news, horrifying as it is. Let's go to the written comments, because there are no video comments today. Yeah, sorry, that was a bit weird.
It was... That was both kind of reassuring and depressing at the same time. Is it like a weird combination in that it's getting better, but it should never have got to that point. Yeah.
It's also amazing how place. It always gets back to Bread Tube. Like H-Bomber, famous funder of child abuse.
Bread Tube are just controlling the entire world behind the scenes.
Well, the evil stuff, yeah. Well, they're just really funding it. I mean, that was what the point of the stream was. Decompartmentalize after that. So, on the statue wars,
mm-hmm.
Let's try and have some fun. Baron von Vorhawk, who's presidably... Yeah, you were there, siding with Chilwawe back in the day. This statue business really shows Major Khan's true colours.
Major? It's got a promotion.
Major Khan. Mayor Khan's true colours. And just how far England has fallen. They tear down the heroes of old, refuse to honour the heroes today, and erect statues of murderers and terrorists. This proves that England is dead. It was a good run, but it is over. The sun has set on England as a conquered nation. London, I will agree, is gone. London has fallen long ago. And if they're putting up statues to terrorists isn't evidence enough, I just wait for the Lee Rigby killer statue.
I think I have the sort of old sea captain approach to Britain in that,
it's dark.
If Britain is sinking, I'm going to go down with the ship. You know, it's a captain's duty.
That's a bit cruel, but I'm imagining you in the ISIS video that's set in, you know, lovely Wiltshire. A few years being like, I'm sticking around, so that's lovely. But
I'm not going to join in.
No, you're going to be the last victim. Like, okay. You're going down with the ship. Like, the last one to enjoy diversity being a strength, as they would put it. So, Grammy? Nartarus?
Graham.
Is that Graham?
It's spelled differently, yeah.
I've never seen that spelling before, sorry.
I think so, anyway.
So,
sorry if it's not.
Greg's over here says, look at the architecture around the butt plug. Can't believe I just said that. That's how far we've fallen.
Yeah, the architecture around it's much, much nicer than the actual main event. Yeah. In many ways, it would just be better if it wasn't there at all, and we could just see the nice architecture, wouldn't it? I mean, I can't believe I have to say that.
Just decouple that from the conversation. Look at the architecture around that butt plug. Colin P says, if Sadiq Khan isn't in favour of it, my default position is to be against it. Somehow, I rather doubt that the mayor would be in favour of having that statue pulled down. Yeah. Which is why also, I forgot to mention, Love the Statues campaign, because they're not in breach of any law. They're literally there contextualising the statue. They're not harming it in any way. And that's the best kind of revolt.
We should trick some leftists into saying, like, yeah, he was like an Uncle Tom for slavery, this guy. Then they'll go tear it down. Like, oh yeah, by the way, that wasn't true.
He actually just killed British people. No, our hero. Jordan says, how is putting up a monument to a man who hated the entire British people not an announcement that you hate Britain, Sadiq?
Of course he hates Britain. I mean, everything he's done has been against our interests.
We have it more black and white than we could ever ask for. Lord Nerevar says it's only right that in the UK we should celebrate British heroes. That's just it. I don't give a toss about how many slaves they owned or how much plantation money they enjoyed. There are heroes and that's it. I wouldn't dream of going to India and demanding they take down the statue of Gandhi because he was a womanizer and a racist. Apparently a nonce as well. Why on earth are they trying to take it, make it okay in the reverse? Yeah, I mean, I agree as well. I mean, especially after my time in the Islamic world. If they worship Muhammad, go ahead. I'm not going to criticize what he did for their hero. Like, fine, whatever, that defines you. That's you know, at least we know where we all stand, I guess. But for us, we celebrate murderers of our own people. Edward of Woodstock says, where would left-wing protesters be without the butt plug? Yeah, I'm not quite sure. Probably leaking, I imagine, he writes. I'm ashamed of that joke, he says.
Rightly so.
Captain Charlie the Beagle says, if Sadiq Khan keeps up with this statue nonsense, then at least it will be an easy win for any Tories or any non-Labour politician takes over mayor from Sadiq. Look at the demographic future of London. I don't think that's happening. Just by putting her statue up and saying how unpatriotic he was for not doing it so sooner. As for the one that's there, I'm sure there's place for it to be put somewhere else. I think Bristol Harbour?
Yeah, that sounds all right.
I think that's actually the right place for it.
Mm-hmm.
This guy murdered British citizens and sided with his Germans.
We're going to do some sort of like charity fundraiser, carrying the statue all the way from, was it Trafalgar Square or whatever?
Yeah.
All the way up to Bristol, and then throw it in the river at the end.
I think we could do that legally. If you raise enough money, I think you could mm-hmm. buy the piece, move it, buy the harbour, throw it in. My harbour, I'll do what I want. Deserves it. What are they going to do? Weak leftists, pick it up. Callum Dayton says, there's only one statue or monument I want torn down in the United Kingdom, and that's of Karl Marx in London. The number of people that his ideology has killed in the hundreds, or 50 years so since its inception to existence, is far higher than anything the British monarchy, bigotry, or any other blah, 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 Britannia has ever done. And we've lasted over 1,000 years. Only mass atomic displacement nukes could place out Marxist socialism. No, if you want to have some fun, I think I've shown you this before, type in nuke map on Google. You will find nuke map. Pick the largest nukes, the Tsar Bomber, the design they didn't even get to because it was too big. Blow it up anywhere on Earth a few times. You'll get nowhere near to the death toll of socialism. I think you'd have to blow up. I think the max you can blow up on Nuke Mac is 10. Do them all in China and India and you still won't get there. So. Risto Rantatan says, I support a bust for Queen Elizabeth II.
I don't know if that's glad a joke. To hear it.
Joke about her bust, but whatever.
I don't think so.
Ewan Baker says, I have so much contempt for Khan. He is an evil, vindictive, manipulative little worm. Yeah.
He's certainly little.
Yeah, I agree with all of it. George Happ says all statues must be allowed to... That's a question, actually. Would you build the statue of Queen Elizabeth in her prime, or like you know, she'd want to be remembered, or when she was 90?
I don't know. We must have some record of her preferences. I suppose she's depicted in banknotes as being older, isn't she? And she must have had some say over that. Although there are ones where she's younger as well, aren't there?
Yeah. Like the stamps, if you get second-class stamps, they're very young still.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I wonder. There must be a way of knowing. Like she must have kept paintings of herself that she mm-hmm. loved.
Maybe well, there are plenty of people who knew her. It's not like she just existed in a vacuum where she didn't talk to anyone.
Because I know Victoria is, you know, kept as she was.
Mm-hmm.
Is miserable.
Not especially flattering, is it?
No, but she was a miserable woman, and she liked it that way. So, you know, but after it was her husband died, she was just miserable for like 10 years, continued to wear black. Just like, bro, it's been 5 years.
Just like the first goth.
Yeah, pretty much. Sorry, so George Happ says, all statues must be allowed to exist, but the ones displayed in public square show what a society values and celebrates. Destroying public property should always be illegal, but the selective enforcement proved that the establishment want their values represented, mainly noncery. I've made a video about this previously, in fact, my thoughts on this, which does include that we should keep that statue of the murderer up exactly mm-hmm. where it is, with more plaques telling everyone, but this was built by Sadiq Khan, mm-hmm. Mayor of London, first Muslim, blah, 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 Pakistani.
You don't have to venerate a statue necessarily. Like lots of Soviet satellite states still keep their statues of Stalin and Lenin, even though they hate them, and they keep them as a reminder of
the hell they went through.
Exactly, yeah.
I mean, my favourite fact of bibliocide, which is a hell of a word, is the genocide of books.
Okay.
It was made in response to the Soviets because of how bad they were at it. Like, the Nazis are nowhere near. In Lithuania, there's a list of banned books that still survives in the Russian archives, and it's banned Lithuanian books. Most of the books on there only exist on the list.
Really?
All of the books are gone.
That's really annoying. It's like hearing about an extinct species or destroying a priceless work of art, that we just lose this to history, do we, because of some iconoclastic or whatever you call it, book-burning supporting people.
Yeah, literally the Soviets. It's just my favourite fact of like how hard they did this.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we should keep the statue up of the murderer and just put plaques everywhere. A portrait of Sadiq Khan, in fact, should be attached to it. Be like, yeah, that guy, just so you know. He thinks this is cool, with a quote, for freedom and diversity or equality or whatever.
What we should do, which would be really funny, is have like a life-size statue of Sadiq Khan, and then next to all of the other statues, he'll look tiny. Because he's like 5 foot nothing, isn't he? And you get that like next to the statue of Nelson, and he'll be like the height of the horse's kneecap.
John, have you got your 3D printer working yet? Not yet. Could we make a little 3D mold of Sadiq Khan? Well, yeah, okay, then we'll take it to the fourth plinth, put it there. All right, same old statue, send me a message. I want to coordinate on that. Be fun. All right, let's go to the politicized hurricane.
Sure. Callum Dayton, news just in, Hurricane Rainbow Dildo Butt Monkey has been confirmed to be non-human. This comes as a relief to the trans community members affected by the hurricane's passing.
What is it with the pronoun thing? Like, I saw a whole bunch of people declaring that it should be a woman or a man for no reason. Did you see that?
I don't know. I suppose because it's Ian. Well, who does that name correspond to anymore? We've had the gender binary worn down over the years. Maybe it's Ian, she, her. Maybe, you know, it's a female hurricane.
Is there a female form of Ian? I'm gonna look that up.
I don't think so.
Eonia? Joan? What?
Surely not.
Hang on, I'll read this. I'll get back to you.
So, Bleach Demon, that price estimate on the hurricane evaluation is for fuel, lodging elsewhere, and food for about a week. Honestly, the money was better spent sending illegals to Martha's Vineyard. That's definitely true. I mean, it was certainly funnier. Tax fraud. Hurricane Ian is clear evidence of white supremacy. Wait, I got that line wrong. It's clear evidence of climate change. The fact that Florida is getting the same weather it gets every year is evidence that the climate is changing. I mean, yes, I mean, Florida getting hurricanes, that's never happened in history. I mean, it's not as if, you know, the entire climate's kind of shaped by it.
Okay, I don't know what's wrong with the Scots, but apparently Ian is derived from John. Like, that's where the word comes from. And in Scottish dialects, it became Ian. And then that's why Joan is the female version.
But my granddad was Scottish and he was called John. He wasn't called Ian.
Well, apparently he's both. It's the same word.
See, it like Schrodinger's John. You're both Ian and John simultaneously.
No, but it's the fact that it was derived in Scottish dialect becoming Ian. So it's just, I don't know, some Highland people had said John so many times wrongly. It became Ian, like Chinese whispers. And that's how it
is. What a weird backstory about that.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Rick Archer, I feel like the weather is getting worse. Leftist proof of climate change. Nicholas Valentine, not the first time Dems the left have politicised a hurricane. I remember years ago when Kanye was still on the Kool-Aid, we had the gem of George Bush hates black people for Hurricane Katrina. It was Katrina, and it was also hilarious because you had Michael Myers stood next to him looking at him just like, what did you just say? It's like, you just said that on national television. I think the exact words were George Bush doesn't care about black people. And a charity fundraiser, just completely irrelevant to raising money for the victims of the hurricane. How far Kanye's come. So, Casey Darling, my husband is a lineman. Anytime a hurricane or ice storm is expected, power companies and contractors are on their way days before the disaster hits, and it does not cost $1,200 to evacuate. I've done it before. It costs a tank of gas. Everyone has a family or friends inland who offer you a place to stay if you live at the beach. Yeah, I did think it was a little bit suspicious that figure was so arbitrary. Just like, yes, it costs this much to flee a hurricane.
Yeah, maybe you. Fly first.
Like,
class
it's just
out of
like
Miami.
A menu of just like, here's how much it costs to flee a hurricane.
But that's what I mean. Like, it's the price of a first class ticket probably from like Miami to Washington.
Mm-hmm. Colin P, I was watching Tucker Carlson earlier and he was showing figures that there has been no real change in the number of hurricanes. In fact, it's the opposite. It's It's that the number of hurricanes has reduced over the years, as that climate scientist pointed out. Was it 1917 to 65? There were far more than post 65. Bald Eagle, 1787. All the preparation that was done before the storm was solely Florida Man and communities getting ready for landfall before the storm even formed. I thought it probably would be Florida Man, but didn't have time to go digging about who actually orchestrated the response. The media and the left are trying to use this push. Climate change is disgusting. The most deadly storms that hit the US occurred long before the climate change cancer began infesting the scientific community. And the 19th and the 20th century had worse storms hit. And Texas island of Galveston was completely wiped out, life included, by a storm several times stronger than Ian and recent storms ever were. It's very interesting. Thank you for the history. And very much agree, of course. Robert Longshore, regarding free hurricane getting worse or intensifying, could just be the consequences of a continuous and natural emergence from the last ice age we were in. Yes, I mean, that would be one feasible explanation, other than the fact that it is, of course, the reverse, that there are fewer hurricanes. Colin P, are these the same computer simulations they used for COVID? After all, those were so accurate. I mean, yes, worth pointing out here that the scientist that did the 10% figure, that it's made 10% worse using this computer model. And of course, computer modeling underpinned pandemic responses. And that's why everyone really, really thought it was going to be worse when actually, you know, could have just carried on as normal. But anyway, should we move on to some of your comments?
Apparently flying to the Grand Canyon will do it.
Okay.
Although that's looking at the cheapest options. I was looking on Skyscanner. You can't hit first class. So I'm sure Washington will be first class. $1,200. Anyway, mermaids, witch doctors. Baron von Vorhawk again, coming up to tell us more about Nazi-land. When it comes to these witch doctors, they have only one course of action. Double down and continue their mission to transition kids. They have no other choice, because to admit that they were wrong would be an admission that they are nothing but child butchers who mutilate tens of thousands of innocent boys and girls. You would have to be like Ted Bundy or
John Wayne Gacy.
Gacy. Yeah. To live with such actions and not commit suicide.
I do wonder about how frequently they go through staff. I'd be very interested to see. Very interested to see whether people in Mermaids get a lay of the land that it's like, oh, I was a leftist, but actually, you know, maybe there's something wrong here. Maybe I'm going to get in some legal hot water. I'm going to get out of here. Because, of course, the ideology only goes so far until self-preservation kicks in. They're like, well, the hammer is going to fall. I need to get out of here.
Holocaust camp guards.
Yeah. They still got tried, though, didn't they?
No, but they got along with the job, right? So. Anyway. Amara Watt says, well, the police knew about grooming gangs for over 40 years. In terms of investigating Nonsing, this is lightning speed. It must be something happening behind the scenes to get moving, otherwise it's completely sus. Yeah, I mean, technically it's really just, here's the law, go and do it. And it's child abuse rather than Nonsing, but yeah, it's interesting to say the least. Rick Archer says, I'm waiting for the trans lobbyist activists to come out with a statement. Yes, post-op transgender people do have much higher suicide rates because transitioning does not help their gender dysphoria, and that's a good thing. It's really society that's still doing
it's transphobia that makes it worse, don't you know?
Yeah, Rick, you're right. That is what happened. Because I think there is a Swedish study done on this where they did find that, yeah, it was made it worse, like 1% or something. And they will try and argue that, no, we still need to do it. Money. A lot of money.
So if it was like 1%, surely that means that transphobia is actually not very significant.
No, the guys who wrote the Swedish study, I'll have to dig it out at some point, their conclusion was hilarious because they found the evidence.
Mm-hmm.
And then the conclusion is that, well, lack of data points, can't really get anything from this. Really? That's your copium? The data says that my ideology is wrong, but really the problem is the lack of data. Yeah, Sverige. What else he meant to say? Colin Pickering says, just saying, but this trans stuff seems awfully focused on biology, especially considering we're told that gender and it's all a social construct, completely unconnected to sex. Yeah. Mott and Bailey arguments. Colin P says, it is not possible to consent to serious assault. Breast binding, ironing is child abuse. Good start. Now follow that line of logic to its conclusion. Yeah. Can't do it to the rest of your body. Don't mind just your breasts. Thomas Howell says, you guys are thinking about chest binding on the NHS is all wrong. As soon as the NHS takes over in waiting times will overtake the time it takes to get the gender dysphoria to disappear. I'm not quite sure if I read that one. I might have read that.
He's right, basically saying that the waiting times in NHS are so long that by the time they actually get any treatment, they're going to have changed their mind again.
Oh, yeah. That's
one of the saving graces of the NHS is it's so inefficient that
it can't
they'll
even
be put
abuse
off.
Children, unlike mermaids out there doing the Lord's work. God. Anyway, we're out of time. Yeah, today was good news in a bad way, but there we are. Otherwise, it's Friday, so if you want to come and join the Gold Zoom call, 3:30 today, or we'll be back 1 o'clock on Monday. Thank you, and goodbye.